Well, good morning, Lighthouse.
Morning.
How's everyone this morning? Are you standing in worship?
Yep.
You know, I personally don't really like the fallback time, knowing that I'm going to lose an hour coming up in spring. But I guess the bright side of fallback is no one can make the excuse that they didn't get enough sleep so they couldn't come to church. So let's all stand and worship the Lord. There is a fountain.
All the ransom saints of God be saved.
bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, got an extra hour of sleep. How many of you stayed up and watched the ball game last night? What do you mean you can't hear? Hold on, hold on, hold on. It's on. What's wrong with my mic, Greg? All right, now it's working. And how many stayed up to watch the ball game, you said? Okay, all right, all right. That was a good ball game. But we're here to worship Jesus, not the Astros. Amen. I don't know how much help Jesus gave the Astros, but they played a good ball game. I know how much help he gave me.
Yep.
All I needed. All I needed. He is everything. And you're here to worship him today, right? I hope that's why you came, because the entertainment's not going to be that good. I really hope you came to worship Jesus this morning. Now, those of you that are new with us today, I'm looking out around here, and I don't see anybody that's brand new, so you've probably filled out one of these cards that I can't seem to find right now, but you know the one I'm talking about.
There you go.
There it is. Hold it up. They don't need to see me. Okay. Now that we have all your information from the card, if you've never filled one of these out, go ahead and do it. But there's a part down here on the bottom that we reuse over and over again, and that's prayer requests. And I know from Bible class this morning and the prayer list we had in there that there's a bunch of folks that need some prayer going on today. I know that some of you aren't in the best of health that you should be in and would like to be in. And I know there's some other issues and things going on in your lives that even things you're not ready to talk about. And that's okay, because the Lord already knows. And we can pray for an unspoken request, because it's not unspoken to Jesus. It's just unspoken to us. And that's okay. That's okay. It's good when we know what you're asking for and we agree in the Lord that this is something that we believe is in his will. And we have promises that go with that. That the Lord's made to us. But sometimes you just, things happen in life that you're just not ready to talk about. And we can pray for that too. But I know one thing, I know that Jesus hears and answers our prayers. He does it all the time. Matter of fact, we're kind of spoiled, we're so used to it. But we're his children and he cares. And he doesn't ever forsake us or leave us, no matter what we go through. And so, fill out that request, and we'll make sure that we together bring it to the Lord on your behalf, if you'll do that. Right now, we're going to stop and pray, and we're going to make sure that things between us and the Lord are where they should be. Now, I know that I'm not the only person here that never made it through all the week without sinning against God. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do that. There's doing things you should not do, saying things you should not say, and then there's failing to do all the things you should do and that you should say. So I'm pretty certain that all of us have sinned and come short of God's glory this week, and we need to make sure that that's taken care of before we continue our worship. You can't worship with a heart that's not clean. But Jesus, if you're one of his children, he'll make your heart clean if you'll confess that to him. That's the promise we have. 1 John 1:9. We live on 1 John 1:9 as Christians. We really do. It makes all the difference. So let's go to prayer, and let's take care of business before us and the Lord. Heavenly Father, we bow before you today, Father, seeking your forgiveness and your love and your mercy. The kindness that you show to us, Lord, is amazing. Far beyond anything we could ever deserve. And Lord, you didn't become our Savior because we deserved it. You became our Savior because you loved us anyway, when we didn't deserve it. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says you died for us. And we know, Lord, that in life, as we walk through each day, that we need you, Lord. Not just to fix us when we sin, But we need your light that shines ahead of us so that we don't fall in ways that we would normally otherwise do it. Use us for your glory today, Lord. Forgive us where we sinned and failed you, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.
Is paid. There's nothing that can separate.
be found by my faith in you. I lift up holy hands and sing, let the praises ring. Second grade and under, we'll be going back with Mr. Josh Sharp. And third through six, I'm going to invite you guys to stay out here this morning. Well, good morning, Lighthouse. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yes, sir.
Prayer and politics. You probably think, oh, this is going to be a fun one, but bear with me. You know, compared to the past few months of preaching, there might be something just a little bit different that goes on today. We might finish this message before 12 p.m. So, but I said might. So one of the topics, you know, brought out into this passage, you can see in the title already, is prayer. And now concerning prayer, you know, there were two men, they were walking through a field, you know, and then in that field, they come across an enraged bull, and immediately it begins to run towards them. The two men just sprint for their lives towards the gate, and they realize they're not going to make it. One of them yells, John, you need to pray. We're not going to make this. We need God. John replies, well, I don't know how to pray out loud, though. His friend replies, just do it. Just say anything. You have to. So John replies, I'll pray the prayer my father used to pray at every night in dinner. Praise, Lord, for what we're about to receive. Let us be thankful. Our text this morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. See, this letter from Paul is written to one of his pupils by the name of Timothy. Timothy is a younger fellow, and he's been tasked into pastoring in the city of Ephesus. We see the church of Ephesians, the Ephesians book. This was written in the viewpoint of pastoral ministry
towards the individual. So it's all about conduct within the church and ministry. If anyone's going to be in the ministry, whether it be pastoral, serving, leadership, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus is a must well-known and must-be-studied book. In this section here, Paul switches and he puts an emphasis on prayer. He gives specifics of the recipients of that prayer and then the reasons behind it. Prayer can be defined simply as this. I don't like to get into all these big theological definitions of prayer. Prayer is simply communication with God. Remember this definition that goes on. Prayer, you talking to God, the Word of God, Scripture reading, God talking to you. Let's read our text to go ahead and begin. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We first see prayer being emphasized. As I exhort, therefore, he's switching sections to this is what you need to do. That first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. I exhort, therefore, first of all, meaning that this has high importance. The stress was on these prayers. In this verse alone, you find four New Testament words in regard to prayer. This first one here is a supplication prayer. This prayer here means asking. Typically, it was for the one who is praying, asking on your own behalf. David did this one very often in the Psalms. We see Psalm chapter 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O Lord, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. There was a plead for God's mercy and a plead for God to hear him. Psalm 7:1 is another example. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. He's praying to be saved and rescued from the persecutors, to be delivered. See, it is necessary to pray and ask God for things like this. Strength, wisdom, mercy when it comes to consequences especially. Job interviews. Jesus even taught his disciples in the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We have full confidence at Lighthouse that God does hear our prayers and that he does answer them in three ways. First, yes. Number two, are you serious? And KKA, no. Three, wait, and in due time this will come. See, I don't think I'm the only one here who can testify this, but I look back, I am grateful for God saying no to some of the things I've prayed before. The asking prayers. As you grow in the Lord, I want you to know that you'll probably find yourself praying these kind of prayers a little bit less as we move on. Now, don't take that the wrong way. There's also the second word for prayer. This is prayers. It's a general word used for it. It's generic communication. It can be done through worship kind of prayers, like we did in the service. We grasped in the promise of 1 John 1:9 when Pastor led the prayer. That's a corporate prayer we did together. This word would fall into that category. We also have the third one, intercession prayers, or intercessory prayers, it's been called. This prayer is also an asking type of prayer, but it's on behalf of others. Hence the word intercession. Moses is a big one that comes to mind as an Old Testament example. You know, Moses, if you read about his life and story, he seemed to be constantly praying for Israel and pleading to God to spare them. Other examples we see making intercession prayers, we see Abraham, we see Samuel, David, Elijah, and Daniel was also another man that did it for his nation. Samuel, the prophet and priest, considered it sinning against the Lord if he sees praying for the people of Israel. And considering the context Samuel was in, it was a time of frustration for Samuel because the people wanted a king. They wanted an earthly ruler for them. And God gave them what they asked for. You want your king? Here you go. And Samuel made this statement here. He says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray but I will teach you the good and the right way." The church, back in Acts, was earnestly praying for Peter when he was in jail for preaching the gospel waiting for Herod. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 reads this. It says, "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but in prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Later in this same passage in Acts 12, we see an angel come and lead Peter out of the prison, and the automatic door opener was first inspired. The gate opened automatically, and he went on through. See, God used the prayers of his church in that passage to deliver Peter, as he often does today, to accomplish his will. These kind of prayers are very common in Scripture. At Lighthouse, we even do this often ourselves. We have prayer requests that go on throughout the week. And if you're not on the list of the messages from receiving the updates and prayer requests, I would encourage you to do so. We have prayers go out constantly, and we have testimony after testimony of people thanking us for the prayers. We even have a prayer team and pastor's classroom that meets every Sunday after the service. And if you have the time, if you can, I would encourage you, join him. Join Jamie. Join the team. See, as you grow in the Lord, you may notice more of these happening while less praying for yourself happens. We also have the fourth one, a thanksgiving kind of prayer. These are what our lives should absolutely be filled with. Taking opportunity to give God thanks and give him glory and honor. It should be natural as you walk with the Lord. And as you're seeking him, as you're growing to clean up your life and change you, thanksgiving to God is something that's going to come natural. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 through 18 says this, "Pray without ceasing. In everything, in every circumstance, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean you're constantly 24/7 bowing your head and praying, but praying without ceasing is you throughout your day are in constant communication with God. As you see the little things in your life happen, you got here safely, you have the benefit and access to be grateful to God. Say, "Lord, thank you for getting me here safely. Lord, that could have been me in that car accident. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you that I have bills that I can pay. I have money in the bank. I have food on the table." We can remain in that constant gratitude and communication with God. You have many things you can be grateful to the Lord about, and he delights to hear it. Getting here safely this morning, food to put on the table, a warm home, a bed to sleep in, money in the bank. These are your physical things you can continuously be thankful to God for. What about the spiritual things? You have your salvation, God's promise to be with you, a church family that you can rely on and lean on. We ought to be spending our time reflecting more on what we are grateful for and not so much of the things that we can't change or the things that we don't have. Casting off anxiety and praying instead is a remedy for God's peace in your life. Casting off anxiety and praying instead is how you can have God's peace for your life. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this here. "Be careful for nothing." That means a worry and anxiety. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." A Christian who has peace in their life is a Christian who prays. We see the prayer recipients, they're specified. Well, first he says here, prayer for all people. "Be made unto all men." Now that word "men's" not talking about just the males, it's men, mankind in general. We have our families to pray for. We have our church family to pray for. Other churches around the world doing the work of the Lord, we can pray for them. Our friends, our co-workers. This one can be kind of a given and easy, But then we can start mentioning those we may not particularly like by name. I think it gets all different. Second, prayer for authorities. For kings and all who are in authority. See, some have concluded that, well, he isn't simply saying praying for everyone, just only types of people. They conclude that, they even conclude that Jesus didn't really die for everyone, but just types of people because of this verse here. However, this is wrong because of the usage of the word for. This word here used for for in the Greek is huper, and it is a bigger emphasis than the usual Greek words such as gar and eis. It can be seen and read it as especially for. Prayer be made for all men, especially for, even for kings and who all are in authority. The authority, that can be your bosses, it can be your pastors, your spiritual leaders. The direct context would be our governing authorities. And with important election coming up, this is a passage that ought to be emphasized in our lives right now. Now, I am not ignorant to know the fact that our economy is not doing so well. And our current leaders, well, they don't seem to have the best interest of heart for our country. Some have even concluded that, well, we should only support godly political leaders in prayer. Yet, consider who was Caesar when Paul wrote this. Nero, the same one who had Paul executed and many of the disciples and apostles executed. Anything but a godly man. It is foolish to conclude, well, we should only pray for godly leadership. If you only pray for those who are godly in leadership, we are in big trouble. God even told the Israel people when they were being sent to, whenever they were being exiled to Babylon, to pray for that nation if you want prosperity. You should never pray for your leaders to fail. Even if they don't know the Lord, you need to pray and support that God's hands will be on their life. There's a fun analogy I like using. If you're going to pray for only godly leaders and you're hoping your current leaders mess up, that's like being on a plane and hoping your captain crashes. We always should pray no matter who is in leadership. One, you got to remember who's the one who put them there. Others have said, I do pray for them. Just like the way David prayed for his enemies found in the Psalms. These are called the imprecatory prayers. Now, if you've read Psalms, you would know David was certainly not shy about his feelings when he would pray. While technically, yes, it is praying for them. Yes, you're making a prayer. But I don't think this is what Paul has in mind when he says prayer is to be made for kings and all in authority. He already has given four specific types of prayers, and this is also a theme that Jesus made when he made his remark in regards to praying for our enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. It says, ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. By the way, that's not an Old Testament principle. That's some of the traditions passed on by the Pharisees. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You think Jesus is talking about the prayer for judgment to be passed on or judgment to be removed? Jesus wants us to pray for them in a loving manner. If you want to get to this territory, it's like, well, they don't deserve God's love. They don't deserve God's mercy upon them. What about you? Are we any better than the lost when it comes to our righteous works? We're just better off. We have a destination different from them, but a saved person can do just as dumb as a lost person can do. Don't ever get to this mindset, well, they don't deserve it. Neither do you. And just because David did so does not equate, I should do it too. This hermeneutic principle is known as narrative does not equal nominative. You can pray for what they stand for to be cut off, and even for God to remove them from position, for God's justice to be here, but always remember, we are to hate the sin, not the sinner. The most we should be praying for is God to be drawing them to Himself, to save them, for them to come to know the gospel. That should be our biggest prayer when it comes to wicked rulers. Are we doing more praying for our leaders? Are we doing more complaining? Do we pray more for them, or do we complain about them more? Paul then gives us the reason why we are to do these things, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That means dignity and integrity. Notice a word that seems to be associated with prayer repeated in the New Testament. It's the word peace. This is even seen in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. If you want peace in your life, be a person of prayer. Praying for such is not just for their benefit, it's also for ours. I love this quote regarding what someone has said. What have you ever gained through prayer is the question. The quote says, what did you gain by regularly praying to God? The man replied, nothing. But let me tell you what I lost. Anger, my ego, greed, depression, insecurity, and the fear of death. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is not gaining, but losing, which ultimately is the gain. Prayer has never been about asking, getting this, but remaining in a peaceful, quiet life, walking with the Lord, knowing you have access to talk to God at any time, at any point of the day, to give Him gratitude, to pray on behalf of others. Paul nor any of the apostles ever called the church to any kind of political revolution. He called them to be men and women of prayer. We sometimes call them prayer warriors. The purpose for such a life is not that we can be comfortable, but so that we can grow in godliness, that we can grow in our honesty or dignity, with a view towards the maximum spread of the name of Jesus and His gospel. We absolutely want peace and prosperity in our nation. When the nation is at peace and prosperity, it's all the more opportunities to keep teaching and spreading the gospel around. We want it to be easier to spread the gospel, do we not? We want to have godly leaders and godly authority. See, when Christians pray for civil rulers so that there is peace, it allows the gospel to be preached and men to continuously be saved, which is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who desires the salvation for just some select people, for all people. It is God's desire for all to be saved. That is why we should constantly be praying for our rulers and especially the lost ones, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In this passage here in verse 4, this word will is crucial to understand, or you'll come to very, very wrong conclusions. It doesn't mean will like I will tell you the original word or something yet to happen. This word here, will, it means a desire or a want. The original word is thelo. It's God's desire. It's God's desire to have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. It's God's desire, yet what happened? I can tell you what didn't happen, though. Some have used this as evidence for universalism salvation, meaning everyone will be saved because God's love overcomes even His justice. Yet Scripture is clear, this does not happen. This is not God's will in the sense of His purpose and what He determines. It's His desire. It also doesn't mean God only desires all types of people, but not He only desires all types of people, but not everyone. Some have concluded, well, He only wants all kinds of people to get saved. He doesn't really want everyone to be saved, as another side tries to conclude. 2 Peter 3:9 uses the word in a similar manner as well. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, were not willing, not desiring, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. By the way, this verse is your answer to wondering why the Lord has not come back yet. The more and more people getting saved, the Lord's not coming back yet. God desires that all men to be saved. God also desires that the wicked turn from their ways. Ezekiel 18, 31-32. Cast away all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That simply means God desires everyone to believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I personally think the answer to 1 Timothy 2 is very simple. I don't even understand why this trips up people who claim the name of Jesus. God, yes, does desire everyone to be saved, yet not everyone is saved. I think the answer is simple. Putting your trust in Jesus to save you is your choice. God has given every one of us here a choice to believe the gospel or reject the gospel. He desires you to do it. He wants you to do it. You receive opportunity after opportunity to do so. But nevertheless, God is not going to force you to love him. He's not going to force you to choose him. If anyone dies rejecting Jesus, it's their fault. That one way of salvation involving a mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, the Son of Man as prophesied in Daniel. In order for God to be reconciled to sinful men, men had to pay for their sin. God sent his Son, the Son of God, to pay for ours. The price was death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But God provided a representative man to be a substitute for all other men through his death, burial, and resurrection as a substitute for everyone in this world through his death. Not just some select few, God sent his Son Jesus to die for everybody. He became the ransom, the one who paid the price to release men from the bondage of sin and the wrath to come, which humanity rightfully deserves. This ransom is sufficient for all who will receive it by faith. I don't understand why that message seems to trip people up. Because of what God desires, because he desires this world to be saved, we ought to be at this time lifting our political leaders, whether they be godly or whether they be wicked, we ought to be lifting them in prayer. We do want our nation to prosper. And not just prayers for them, but we need to be prayer for our leaders, our spiritual leaders, our local leaders. I encourage you, mention them by name. Don't generically say, Lord, I pray for everyone. Be specific. Pray for Joe Biden. Pray for Nancy Pelosi. You may not like them. Bible doesn't say you have to like them, but you do need to pray for God's hand to lead them, for God to bring them to repentance. But nevertheless, if they die lost, if they want to go astray, that's their choice. There's a man by the name of William Tyndale who was responsible for us having our Bibles translated into English today. He had a profound prayer before he was burned on a stake. Yes, so what his crime was. They concluded it was heresy, including illegally translating the scriptures into English, which led to many leaving the Roman Catholic Church. He was sentenced to death, and his final words were a prayer. Lord, open the King of England's eyes. I don't know if my time will ever be at that kind of point again, but no matter the circumstance, even if it means to death, we need to be in prayer for our leaders, for them to see, for them to know God, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's God's heart. His love was proven by sending Jesus to die in the place of sinners. His death on the cross was enough to pay for the sins of the whole world, not just a select few. He then conquered the grave, proving who he said he was, and giving those who put their trust in him victory over death. All people are sinners who need to know God as Savior, especially those who are in our authorities. Maybe you cannot speak to the person about God. I don't have the opportunity to talk to everyone about the Lord, but I can speak to a God about that person. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so bountifully blessed, Lord, that you hear our prayers, that you give us the privilege and access to you because of what your Son did on our behalf as our mediator. Lord, for this world, especially with important elections going on, I pray that ultimately men, women, this nation would look to you in these things. Father, we love you, Lord, and even with our times of sorrow, our times of distress, Lord, we can still remain grateful in any circumstance. And instead of worrying, Lord, instead of panicking about what's yet to happen or what could happen, may we be warriors and at peace because we have a God who is stronger and lift and above it all, Lord. We love you, and may you be glorified continuously in our hour together as we worship you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Soon could be a pretty long time for you. But the answer is, I don't necessarily think that Jesus is coming soon. Not from my perspective. I know he's coming soon from a biblical perspective, but let me explain why. I know that churches are closing their doors all around us. I know that's going on. I know that it's happening. But I also know something else. I know that God keeps sending us people, one at a time, two at a time, sometimes more, that are seeking to know Jesus. And we're seeing people come to know Jesus. We're seeing people saved. And he just read it. The Lord is not, he doesn't want to see even one. You see, he knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows what's going on because he's the author of so much of it. He knows that there are people who, as soon as they find out, as soon as they learn the truth for themselves, they're going to put their trust in Jesus. I don't know who they are yet, but the Lord keeps sending them to us. You say, well, why isn't he sending them to everybody? Well, I think he is. I just don't understand. It's like Justin said. He said, I don't understand why people get hung up on this. The Lord is reaching out for you. There are people here right now that don't know for sure they're going to heaven yet. And the Lord's not happy about that. That's why we're still here. That's why we're still preaching what we preach. That the Lord, he paid your debt. He paid for everybody. And you have a choice. Now, you can't make that choice without you learn some things first. I know that. You need to know who Jesus is. You need to know what he accomplished on the cross on your behalf. You have to learn some things to do that. And that's why we're here. But I'll tell you something. There are people coming to Jesus. And I can't see Jesus coming and putting a stop to that until the last one. And he knows who that is. So is Jesus coming soon? Yeah. But I don't think I'm going to live to see it. I frankly hope I don't live to see it. Because as long as he's not coming, people are still going to be trusting Jesus. You know, Jesus said, he said, no man can come to me except my Father which hath sent me draw him. And Jesus is drawing people to himself. Some of you here, you're going through that right now, and it's a joy to watch. He's still in the saving business. He's not through. Not by a long shot. I don't know why, what the Lord is dealing with your heart about. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, every time we preach, whether it's Justin or Ray or me, it seems like the Lord is dealing with each and every individual on a different level, all with the same message. Now, who can do that but God? So, you know what He's talking to you about, don't you? It's your time to respond as we sing.